last one off, please. Corey Hawking, please talk to Dre. Congratulations.
Thank you.
While everyone is placing their mics and sitting down, I just wanted to thank all of you. It was an extraordinary film. I think we were all blown away at the screening.
Thank you.
What a powerful and entertaining story. It was really, really extraordinary. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate that.
So I'll start off with a question, now that we have the filmmakers and the actors here. I guess with you, Gareth.
Yes.
But this is extensive to all of you.
Sure.
If you can talk about the genesis, how this project came together, and then for all of you, how excited were you to be a part of it?
Well, I've been involved with this project for 4 years. Got the script from Cube and one of our other producers. And, you know, at first I was a little nervous because it's so much story. There's so much story there to cover 10 years and five guys. I was a little nervous, but when I read the first draft Andrea Berloff wrote, I was kind of like, okay, there's something there, something really good there. And then when I talked to Cube and explored really what we really could do with this story, I joined the project.
Oh yeah, you know, this has been a dream project forever, you know, ever since I started producing in 1995, you know, this has kind of been in the back of my mind. And when, you know, it was looking to become a reality, you know, it was only a few people I would even ask to do a movie like this, and one of them is sitting right next to me. So by Gary, you know, choosing to direct the project, you know, the movie really started to take shape, and we really started to hone in on what did we need to do to produce this movie and get it on the big screen.
I think it was a great thing, you know, a great idea, because we didn't really realize 26 years ago as we doing Straight Outta Compton, you know, that it was such a good story and a lot to it. You know, happiness, sad, you know, all kind of business, you know, showing all the issues we went through. But we kept focused on what we did. Our passion was music, the lyrics, and we didn't let anything stop us. So, you know, it was just it's a great time right now, and happened to be perfect timing for the movie. And it just, 26 years later, the music still sounds fresh. So it's not outdated or anything. It's keeping up right with the times right now.
And seeing the movie, the truth is that we discovered three extraordinary performances, these three young actors.
Oh,
thank you.
Oh, yeah. Incredible.
And,
definitely. Really quite and incredible.
Thank you.
Thank you. Jason, Corey. How excited were you to be a part of this?
Oh man, super excited. I feel like I hit the life lottery. You know? Like here I am listening to Cube and Gary basically say, you know, this is like their best film and their dream come true and all that. But like I'm literally living all that right now, you know? Like, so, I mean, the way I feel is just, I don't know, I can't even really explain it in words. You know, it's emotional.
It's crazy. It's like Gary always used to say on set, you know, just keeping in mind the power of what we were doing, you know, we're making history about a group that made history. But for us, it was just coming to work every day. You know, we didn't take it lightly. You know, they placed a story in our hands that we just wanted to do justice to. And thank you, you know, G and to Gary.
Sorry. I'm G, by the way.
To Gary and Cube and Dre and Tamika and to, you know, Yella and Ren. Everybody, man, it was a team effort.
It's a huge honor because we're speaking about NWA, but at the same time, you know, this is my family's legacy, and I'm just so thankful that the ball was in my hands. I was able to cement this in history. You know, it was hard work, 2 years of auditioning with Gary and things like that to put it into motion. And with the final project, I couldn't be happier.
I'd like to say one thing. You guys did a great job, from Gary, all five of the actors.
Thank you.
It was a great job.
Well, it was an honor to tell the story. I know you guys hear that. It's really cliche. This story is really, really personal to me in a lot of ways. But I don't want to minimize what these guys did. because it was really, really hard. And, you know, you hear about great actors, you know, doing a lot to take on a role. And I had these guys go in the gym, and some had to lose weight, some had to gain weight. We had went through DJ school. These guys recorded straight out of Compton. I had them record the entire album. I had these guys do so much in, I believe it was 8 weeks. It was like a two-month period where they worked around the clock with wardrobe and their trainers, and they worked with Dub C, who was William Calhoun, where I got my start. He worked with them to perform on stage and how to walk, talk, and absorb the LA culture and West Coast hip hop culture, and they did it in such a short amount of time. It's a great feat what these guys did and delivered such a natural performance. These guys didn't come up and mimic. They didn't come up to pretend like Dr. Dre or Ice Cube or DJ Yella. These guys gave a world-class performance. I don't want to minimize their efforts at all.
We have a first question over here.
Yeah, my question actually goes along with that, for O'Shea. You know, you're a spinning image of your dad, by the way, and it's awesome. But so, being your dad's son, I'm sure you know his tics, his mannerism, but did you have to learn some new nuances to come up with your own version of this character, Ice Cube? And Ice Cube, what, did you get pointers to yourself?
Well, you know, if you really want to be technical, I've been doing my research for 20 plus years. There were certain things that, just to put me into that time period, you know, I know solo Ice Cube, you know, I know that guy, you know, I got to kind of dip into how he was or hang around with his friends, you know, how he acted and things like that. So I would look at old interviews, you know, see how they were joking around or get some of his lingo, you know, that you know what I'm saying, and you know, the stuff like that. Just to kind of put myself back in that era. But that's what my research was for, really.
As far as me, you know, what I did with him, I just wanted to give him all the ammunition he needed. I wanted to let him know what I was thinking at the time, my perception of everybody, you know, what I thought of, you know, from Jerry Heller to, you know, Easy, Dre, Ren, Yella, just so he, if he did ad-lib or he did go off script, he would have that ammunition to know how to address this one, address that one, and just how to be in the scene. Because, you know, I knew Gary wouldn't go for anybody being a mimic, you know, so all I knew is that I could just fill him up with information and then let him do his thing. And, you know, he developed into a great actor and during this process. So, you know, I had total confidence in him and in Gary to deliver this role.
And really imagine what he had to go through. It is funny in a room after, you know, we deliver the movie and we feel really good about it, but the 20 years that he mentions, it only counts if you know you're going to play your dad in a movie. You know what I mean? That only counts if you know from, you know, for 20 years, I'm going to play this role. But, you know, it wasn't that way at first. You didn't know that you were going to play this role, right?
No, not at all. In fact, when he told me about it, you know, it was intimidating. It's Universal, you know, it's a big time studio, and Gary don't play. You know, so it's a lot to take on, especially if you've never acted before. But he got me, you know, the coaches I needed. You know, Gary put me in front of Aaron Spizer and Susan Batson and all these great coaches, teaching me these different techniques to really mold me into something, you know, into an actor. And so it was all in the preparation. 2 years, you know, those 2 years, I'd do it again, you know, of auditioning, coming back, getting callbacks, getting more information and more homework from Gary. And then, you know, the boot camp and all the prep is what really brought out my performance.
Thank you. Great performance.
Good afternoon. What I'd like to know is the people or the critics that would have roasted N.W.A. and wanted to crucify him 25, 26 years ago, and the ones that the same guys that will turn around now and praise the movie, what would you say to them?
See? Told you.
Okay. you know, it's a little apples and oranges. You know, the record is, you know, real life moving at the speed of real life. This is a movie that looks back, and it's a piece of art, more, you know, just as much as this, you know, speaking on the things that we were speaking on. So I think, you know, I can imagine you appreciating this movie and still having a problem with the group. You know, that's natural too. So, you know, for those that came around, you know, welcome to 2016. We've been looking for you since 89. But, you know, so, you know, it's great. You know, it's great to have, you know, we've been doing films for 20 years. We've been in the business. And just to be at this level where we can deliver on a movie like this and we don't stumble, fall, and, you know, fall on our face, to me just shows a different talent level and a different creative, I guess, energy and you know, so I can expect that some people would love the film but hate the group still, and that's fine, you know what I mean, because it's all about being real, and we want people to be real even when criticizing the group. If you don't like the movie, you can kill yourself.
I mean, it's amazing how it's getting changed around, you know, because they hated us. They literally hated us. And now the movie just, it's showing our life, and it just, like, I guess it opened their eyes up, you know, and they just like, wow, this group is kind of strong here. You know, they done did some things here. You know, they done started the sticker on the record and the first ones to get sued by sampling. And, you know, we did a lot of things. But it opened up their eyes. It, you know, they might still hate us a little bit, but not as much.
Yes, congratulations on the movie.
Thank you.
Hey, my man. My man. That's what's up. That's right.
The authenticity of the three characters compared to the, obviously being a DJ and a student, right? It goes through the movie. And sometimes in history, there are a situation which 20 years from now, this is history. Like, you know, not going back to the Second World War, the Middle Ages, some other stuff that you're going to say, do you remember when that thing came out? This is, for that period of time, Reagan, Krakowsis, the Rams, the delegation. This is history for Los Angeles. And my question is, why did he act from Compton? Why not, like, you? And also, all of this came out of passion. You told them to fuck off, and you went to New York to be to do your second album. Doctors, they don't be said, fuck you, and keep the shit, and whatever. Well, all of this comes down to what you feel about, you know, making history.
Well, you know, it's amazing that after all this time that the group, you know, still provokes thought, you know, controversy, it still provokes the same energy that it did back then, you know. So that's, you know, that's kind of remarkable. And, you know, we did a lot to change the texture of entertainment in a lot of ways. You know, if you think of how entertainment was before NWA compared to how we are after NWA. And I just think we just opened it up for artists to be themselves and not to put on the mask of, you know, I got to be a good guy in front of the camera. And, you know, so I just think we just opened entertainment up and we just opened artists up to truly be themselves and not have to worry about, you know, trying to portray a squeaky clean image. And, you know, when they saw, you know, NWA was, you know, just as famous as, you know, a Fresh Prince or somebody, you know, it was like, yo, you can be yourself and you can still make an impact on the world. So I feel good that it is, you know, part of history and that we looking back on this time and that the movie shows the why, you know, not just where, when, but why did we do this kind of music? And, you know, people got to understand that where we come from, that's for that forged NWA. You know, it was the streets of Compton, Watts, South Central, Long Beach. That's what forged NWA, and we wanted to show that in the movie.
Up in Los Angeles, I was particularly struck by the perspective of the encounters with police, you know, the face hitting the hood of the car, the face hitting the sidewalk, and I thought that was, you know, well played. And I also wanted to hear what your perspective is in terms of how relations have evolved with police since you were, you know, dealing with them, and then now here comes your son, you know?
Well, ultimately in the movie, and I, you know, Gary can speak on this, what we wanted to show is the humiliation, because that is the real issue. You know, we understand that cops have to be a little heavy-handed with criminals, but we don't understand why they got to be that way with citizens. And so what we wanted to show is the humiliation that we faced, and we wanted the audience to feel that same kind of, what if this was happening to you? And when the audience know, you know, Easy was doing his thing in the beginning, but ultimately, you know, most of the incidents were just situations that could happen to anybody at any time. And when the audience know that we're not criminals and they see that happening to us, it feels like it can be happening to them or to their neighbors. And that's why we did these songs. You know, it wasn't because we don't like police. You know, if somebody break in my house, I'm calling the goddamn police. You know what I'm saying? I'm not calling the homies. I'm not calling, you know, Ren, Yella, or Dre. You know what I'm saying? I'm calling the police. So, you know, we understand that. You know, it's just like, don't do the citizens this way. That's what has to stop. You know, and, you know, Gary was, we were both anal about how we was going to deal with these issues that we knew that forged our protests and our, you know, our reasons for doing this music.
Yeah, it was important. Like you said, the violation was there. You know, I experienced it. I grew up in the same time, you know, roughly the same area. And it was important to understand why a 16-year-old would write these lyrics. And to give you a sense of the backdrop, you know, what was happening socially and otherwise. And Cube supported 100%. And like N.W.A. stepped out and shined a light on that pre-internet, pre-camera phone. And, you know, I'm getting a lot of questions about law enforcement because of what's in the headlines today. And I'm actually optimistic. You know, as much as, you know, we're seeing month after month, week after week, more videos showing up, I'm actually optimistic because of the headlines. And just like they shine a light on excessive force with law enforcement, there's no way you can watch these videos and not understand that change is coming. That pressure is being put on our leaders, pressure is being put on law enforcement to change, and now they're in the spotlight. People said that crime went down when they started to show those shows like Cops. You know what I mean? Because criminals would look and say, you can't get away with that type of stuff. Now the camera is kind of pointing in the other direction. And for all the good cops out there, salute. You know, from my perspective, that's cool. You know, you have nothing to worry about if you're not doing anything wrong. But I like that the body cams are you know, they're considering that for most police officers. And, you know, they did a study in Rialto, California, where they tested it with body cams and cameras on the cars and things like that, and the complaints went down 88%, and the incidences went down 60%. So it's not just about protests now, it's about solutions, and I think that's a great direction to go in, and I like that the headlines are showing this because it's putting a lot of pressure on law enforcement to change, and it kind of started with these guys. Oh, I won't say it started, but I think they continued in their own way to protest, and, you know, here we are today.
Mm-hmm. Hi, I didn't expect to go in the film and shed a tear, but I did. But you know, you have a range of emotions. You have anger, sadness. You also have funny. Was there any scenes that were difficult for you guys to watch from the past?
I would say the hospital scene was probably the worst for me. You know, I'm just like, oh my God, reliving this. And the actors did such a great job. You know, on the day of filming, you couldn't even talk to the actors because they were so focused. They act like they lost a friend in there, for real. You know, Jason's right here. You know, he's still here. But the way they acted and the way they came, the scene came off, it was just so, it's just like, wow, I had to share a couple of tears. I know that, but I've seen it a couple of times. I'm just like, wow, that was the hardest part for me, was that hospital.
Yeah, I mean, and putting the movie together, me and Gary, we was, you know, editing this movie, you know, back and forth a lot. And, you know, I would find myself, you know, putting the movie together like, whoa, you know, tearing up, welling up. You know, it was emotional in a lot of different areas, you know, seeing, you know, Dre, you know, brother dying, and the reaction to the group, you know, was pretty hard. You know, seeing seeing Easy, you know, get kind of cornered, you know, in the studio was kind of rough. And, you know, the hospital scene was real rough for me. Even shooting it, we had to walk out a few times.
Jason, what are you sharing? What do you want to say about that?
Thank you. First of all, like, you know, that really feels good to not eat the butt. But it was all in the grand scheme of Mr. F. Gary Gray right here, because I remember that week, they actually called it the easy week. And it was the week before last, you know, of shooting. And by that time, we had built up a brotherhood that felt like, you know, like when they saw me, they didn't see Eazy-E. They was seeing Jason in the bed, like, what are you doing, son? You can't die. You know, what's happening? And it was, I remember you could just cut it with a knife. It was so thick, you know, and everybody was so quiet. And, you know, even if I tried to talk to people, they're like, no, we get it. You know, you need a break. We understand. Right. And I'm just like, man, you know, it feels good to know that, you know, I can have that creative module, you know, to be able to really show, you know, what I have. This is, like, going to change my life forever, you know.
You know, that was an amazing moment for the cast, because, you know, we really set out to make sure there was an organic bond in rehearsals, that I wanted them to build a friendship, and they did. So when we shot that scene, I remember when Neil, who plays Yella, saw him in bed, he literally could not shoot part of the scene. He had to go in the other room because he couldn't see Jason there laying like that, because the performance was so good and so realistic that it really affected him emotionally. And part of the reason why we picked Jason was because of his background. He had heart and street credibility, and I knew that one of the moments, I knew when he performed that scene, he tapped into his experiences on the street for real. It wasn't a thespian moment. He tapped into some of the experiences he actually had in real life, and that's the reason why that moment was so emotional. For all of us, I cried when he did it, because I couldn't see my friend in that much pain. And that's, again, the reason why I think the performances are outstanding, because they tapped into what's real, and we created something that was very real for them to access when they performed.
Man, it's crazy, because, you know, as men, we don't really do that very often. You know what I mean? We don't hold each other and be like, oh, you know, this is what we're going through, cry right here. And, you know, we don't do that.
It's true.
But, you know, Gary was asking me, like, you need anything? You know, because he had me in the trailer, like, bro, you know, I can't really take your word for this part right now. You're going to have to show me something. You're going to have to crack a tear, let me know where you're going to go with it. You got to give me some type of... And I'm like, you know, as long as I feel emotionally safe to be able to let go, I'm going to let go. I got so much to cry about. You know what I mean? Like, I lost friends shooting the movie. They called me 5:30 in the morning, like, man, they done got down. You know, people getting killed, people going to jail. And I'm like, wow, and I'm being supported through all this. I'm like, I'm supposed to be living the dream, you know? And then I get this amazing opportunity to just let go. And I'm like, trust me, G, I got some stuff to cry about. Don't even trip. You know, and by the end of it, he had to come get me. Because I'm like, look.
He could stop. That's right.
I appreciate it. I'm glad everyone. Thank
you. I appreciate that. I was going to actually open it up to both you, Jason and Corey. We talked about O'Shea, you know, playing his father. But and we know or we've heard how much of a perfectionist Dre is in the studio. So I can only imagine how he would be if someone is, you know, taking on his life. And then also, all of you had someone to look at that's here with us, whereas Jason, you did not. So I kind of wanted to know what you did, how you prepared. You know, his son is here. Was he an influence on you at all?
Okay. Well, as far as him not being here, it's a great responsibility, but I feel like it's a great blessing. You know, I needed this. I really, really needed this. Like, there's so much that I was going through. Like, I needed this, you know? And I had so many guys who wanted me to hit the mark, make sure I had everything I needed. So it was easy. It was easier than it seemed to be able to get comfortable, you know, because I realized that they had so many people who wanted it to be right that, you know, somebody's gonna speak up if it's not, you know? Or like, you know, you don't feel like they give you as much room to fail, you know? It's either a hole in one, oh, that's it. You know what I mean? And they tried to do as much as they could to make sure I stayed on that path. But it's a great privilege because they have so many people who've never met him. And I get to humanize him. You know, like, people will forever envision me like, man, you Eazy-E. Like, I won't even be Jason Mitchell to some people. Like, Eazy-E, dog, you know? They had people get, like, they had a dude get under my bill or my hat and say, bro, you're like seeing a ghost, bro. You know, it's so real. And that's incredible. Like, I would live with that forever, you know? And these guys, like you said, Dre are professionals who we see work. Cube is larger than life. Like, you know what I mean? Like, and these guys are right there, like, everything. You know, like, that really has to be the pressure, you know? Like, and I think it's just, you know, it's a great privilege, like, in disguise. It comes with a lot, but it's definitely a great privilege.
I just feel humble, man. I'm like, I look down this table and I see, you know, my idols, including Jason and Shay, you know? Like, we really, from day one, set out to do, you know, justice to the story. And for me, you know, personally, I'm the guy, you know, coming from Juilliard, you know what I'm saying? I just did Shakespeare, Tybalt on Broadway. So I have a moment where, like, everybody's like, I don't know if you're going to be able to do it. You know, it isn't a rap music. Have you ever heard NWA before? You know, I grew up in D.C., and back then we called it the District of Chronicles. But it's crazy because my mother's a cop, and she is one of the good ones. And I look at what she does in the neighborhood and the volunteering that she does to get into the streets with the kids, and what I do to get into the streets with the kids, because I could have easily gone that route too, because my father comes from the other side of the track. So it's like, you know, it was an interesting dynamic in terms of this movie for me, you know? But with Dre, like, I remember the very first time, Gary, he was like, so listen, you about to go to dinner with Dre. You good? He was like, you know, I just want you, you know, make sure you got everything you need. You know what I'm saying? You know, he was real, like, conscious of just, you know, about how nervous I was to be great. But, you know, we ended up going on the what? We would go to Katana.
We went to Katana.
We sat down, watched the playoffs. I really don't even think we talked about the movie. We just started, like, kicking it and just,
right,
you know, just kind of, and for, like, a split second, I had a moment where, like, a year ago, even a few weeks ago, this would have never been, you know what I mean? But this opportunity just kind of opened my world, and so Dre was just like, cool. And I remember at the end of the dinner, he pulled out his phone It's Apple phone, you know. I'm sitting over there with BlackBerry, like. But he, you know, pulled out his phone. He started passing around the table, and everybody's like, "Oh man!" And I'm sitting there like, "Can y'all let me in on the joke?" Well, not even a joke, but you know, let me in. What's going on? Like, and everybody's like, "Damn, damn!" And it was my audition tape on his iPhone, and like, and at the end of that day, I just remember he pulled me to the side, and he was like, "You the man for the job, you know. You got this role. Don't worry, like they said, don't worry about mimicking me or impersonating me. You know, we could easily find somebody who looked just like me, sound just like me. My stand-in damn near looked more like
it." That's right.
But it was all about, he said, "I'm just interested in you capturing the essence of what we all represented individually, our humanity, the good, the bad, the ugly, everything in between." And from that day on, you know, if it was 4 o'clock in the morning, I could call him and talk about a moment. You know, Gary, you know, we would all conference in the trailer, talk about the smallest details, you know. That moment when he lost his brother, because I never knew that he had a brother, first of all, and that he lost him, you know, while he was with the group. And I remember him coming to set, and I was so nervous, man. And it was early in shooting, too. I was like, "Why did y'all do this to me?" First and second week. And he came to set, he brought his whole family. It was like an hour away, and all the guys were there. We did the first two times, and I just remember kept looking over just to check in at Video Village, and then about the third time I looked over and he was gone, mm-hmm. And I was like, "Damn, I guess I missed the mark on this one, like whatever, you know." And then I found out later that, you know, it was still that heavy for him. He literally couldn't sit there and relive that moment again. And
give props to where it's due. That your performance,
you killed it.
Took him back. It took him back. You can't say it, but I can.
Thank you.
You sunk right into that moment, and it took him back to that moment, and it was an incredible experience. And I was right there. We're in Video Village, and he's watching the monitor, and you know, this big guy who you don't normally associate with just with vulnerability became so vulnerable in that moment because of your choices.
Right.
He couldn't stay.
That's thank you, man, but that's a testament to these guys right here, including Aldous, who plays Ren, and Neil, who plays Yellow. Like, that was an early moment where we had already established a brotherhood, but that moment, you know, early in shooting,
right,
we locked in, you know, and we went on that journey, and it led to, you know, we had the fun in between, and chronologically, you're a genius the way you shot it, G, because by the time we ended principal photography with Easy's passing, it was just like, everything was in pocket. So,
right,
hats off to you.
Thanks.
Did you have time to spend time to outside filming, or was it just everyday work for you?
Well, actually, the first time the three of us met was at the chemistry test. I walk in there, I've never done movies, I don't know how chemistry tests go or nothing like that. I just think it's going to be me, a Dre, a Easy, and we're going to knock this out. I get there, I see a Jerry Curl, "You must be going for Easy. How you doing?" "My name's O'Shea." He look up at me, he said, "No, I'm going for Cube." "Well, I got some news for you." You know, so now I know the game plan. You know, I meet another Cube, so now there's three Cubes here. There's three Dre's and one Easy.
Right. And then Gary had the job.
Yeah, Gary had already made his decision. We don't know that yet. So, you know, from there, they got us mixing and matching, you know, trying to find the perfect combination. And then when it was these two, you know, when the three of us were working together, you know, Gary could throw some at us to improv, and we would bounce off each other. You know, you felt it. And there was even a moment where we were like, you know,
this is it right here, you guys cheated.
You guys cheated because they did cheat because they decided they liked Shay better than the other guys. And the performances started to sink when the other guys. So I knew what was going on.
So, you know. that's the first group huddle of many. But you know, when I met my man Jason, you know, we chopping it up, you know, you can kind of feel when it's a good person around, you know. And it was his first time in LA, and they was ordering pizza. I was like, you got to go to In-N-Out. So, you know, I took him to In-N-Out, you know, and, like, the next day, you know, me, him, and Corey, we was all kicking it. And, like, we just been bonding ever since. And, you know, we had to jump Neil and Albus in, you know, get them initiated into the group. And, you know, Gary really worked on us building that chemistry because it has to translate on screen. You guys got to be lifelong friends. Right now, you know, it has to happen. And he would do things like call for rehearsals, and we're waiting for Gary to come down for the rehearsal. And, you know,
you're doing a million other things,
a thousand other things all around LA. And during that time of you waiting, you guys are talking, you guys are having conversations, you guys are getting to know each other, re-recording the album. You know, we really critiquing each other, trying to get each other to sound like the artist we're portraying. And just things like that, that we really built a brotherhood. We really are friends to this day. We're in a group chat, all five of us. You know, right. It goes down.
Right. And they are now my walls.
It's usually two other people.
These are tactics that I use for Set It Off with Jada Pinkett and Queen Latifah and Kimberly Elise. The same with the Italian Job, where I had to have a group of people come together and have an organic relationship. So they sunk right into this process, and it worked out well.
Okay. So, person in the back over
there. Hello, everybody.
Hi. Hello.
Cube, you made one of the greatest diss tracks of all time.
All time.
The.
Obviously plays a pivotal part in the film as it relates to your shared history. Cube and Neil, I'd love to hear how you, Dre, and Ren, in order to make this movie, discuss that time in your shared history and those tracks that you exchanged. And then, for the entire panel, since we now are living through a comparatively polite time in rap beefs with Meek Mill and Drake, I'd like to hear everybody's vote on who's winning that beef.
First,
with us, you know, it wasn't never a discussion. You know, we just wanted to be real. We wanted to be honest. You know, we all got blemishes that we wanted to show. You know, we didn't mind, and we were looking for them too. You know, it was like, we not hide nothing. Anything we know about your boy going in the movie. You know what I'm saying? So I just think we, you know, we've always been like that with each other, just honest. We don't pull no punches. You know, it's all love. I got so much love for Yella, you know what I mean? But, I tell him about himself just like he'll tell me about myself, you know. And it's just a part of our history that we wasn't going to just gloss over, you know, especially if Gary Gray had anything to do with it. He wasn't going to let us gloss over anything. So, you know, it's just something that we kind of did without having to, you know, ask each other, look for each other shorthand or saying, is this cool or is this right? It's like, let's just do what's great for the movie.
Yeah. I mean, it was a big part in the movie, you know, and I love the way Neil played it off when it stopped. He said, yeah, I like that, you know. Gave him his props, you know, hey, he got us. But, you know, we all in a bond. It was five of us, now it's four of us. You know, this fraternity, you can't buy in it. You had to earn your way in it. And we're going to be friends for the rest of our lives.
Yep.
Until we old and can't hardly move. You know, hey, great job.
Yeah, man.
Get off me! Meek, get off me! Get off me!
Yeah, man.
They'll make a movie about that one day.
Yeah. Let's stay on the Straight Outta Compton right now. That's right.
Gentlemen over here. So, I'm just curious if you guys would ever like to see an NWA video game or a video game based around or influence around NWA.
Why not? You know, they got Grand Theft Auto.
That's right.
Like, that's damn near the NWA story right there. So I guess they just changed the packaging and then we could start getting some goddamn royalties.
Seriously.
I think we have one more question. Giovanna, over there.
Well, my first experience with Paul Giamatti was on The Negotiator. I directed him early in his career on The Negotiator with Kevin Spacey and Sam Jackson, and I had a great time with him then. Amazing performance, he played Rudy. And when I read this script and I thought Jerry Heller, Paul Giamatti was my first choice. Absolute, very, very first choice. We had to consider others for other reasons, but when the casting conversation came up, he was my very first choice, and that's it. And as far as Paul portraying Jerry, you know, we just, you know, did quite a bit of homework. Jerry wrote a book called Ruthless, and a lot of those details of his relationship with Eazy-E and Ruthless Records were in there, and Paul did his homework. And I'm just lucky I was able to get my first choice. It doesn't always happen that way in the process of making film, but I was lucky across the board to get the cast that I wanted and needed to tell this powerful story.
Yeah, with Paul and with the Jerry character, we knew it was a great opportunity to cast a well-respected actor. We knew that we were doing this movie with a lot of unknown faces, and that if we didn't have somebody with some weight, none of y'all would take the damn movie serious. So we felt like it was important, you know, and for Universal, you know, to try in any way we can, you know, put serious actors in that you know, had a following to the point where people knew that we were making a serious movie and that we weren't just trying to make a, you know, hip hop, you know, super long 2-hour video. So, you know, that was important. And as far as Jerry Heller's concerned, you know, he was always a champion for the group. You know, when it was about NWA versus the world, you know what I mean, Jerry Heller would jump out front and fight, you know. Now, dealing with us individually was a different story, you know. But as far as being a champion for the group, you know, he always fought, you know, for our right to be who we are. You know, and we wanted to show him and show his humanity as well, you know, as everybody else. So we didn't want to shortchange him, you know, even though he's our villain. we didn't want to shortchange him, and you know, we want to be fair and authentic with this whole movie.
You've been very fair, very authentic, and then you delivered a really, truly extraordinary, powerful episode. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot, everybody.
Spread the word.